Did you notice there was no crying while I babysat? I know, I'm pretty excited about that. I love that our church understands the importance of missions, and you understand how important it is that we pray for all of our missionaries, all of the people on the list in the back that go. And we certainly want to add Grangers to that list of people that we can lift up, people that we've met, people that we know will go over and make a difference. They have heard from God, and they will do their best to follow that. And, you know, missionaries are not perfect. We're just not. But saying yes to God to go, it's the first step, right? And that's when God really starts growing us spiritually, emotionally. He builds us up. So if the ushers could come back, I want to take a special offering. You know, let's help the Grangers with gas money. You know, they had to drive here just to bless them this week. Let's try and do that. And as we're collecting the offering, I just want to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I just lift up the Grangers to you. Dear God, you have inspired what's growing in their heart, a love for the people of Japan. And dear God, we just ask that you give them a boldness to go even when it's difficult. We ask that they not fear, because they know that you have them. You have what you intend for them to do, dear God. We just thank you, and we ask for protection and for fruitfulness in their ministry. For it's one thing to go, but it's another to listen to you and be fruitful and bring others to a saving knowledge of you. We thank you for all of these things. In Jesus' name. Don't worry, this message today is going to be shorter. I know we had a lot of special things, so it is going to be shorter. Today's message is entitled, Are You Ready for the Rescue? And this whole Lent season, we have been talking about Jesus is our rescuer. And our scripture today is in Acts 16:26. If you want to look that up, Acts 16:26. And suddenly there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And at once all the prison doors flew open and everyone's chains came loose. And one of the songs we sang today, Michael, was about those chains being broken. So that song goes really well with this message. Thank you. So Paul and Silas were traveling and preaching, and they angered the wrong people. You can read more about this story in Acts 16 if you'd like. But they were severely beaten, and then they were put in prison. And the jailer was told to guard them carefully. And so the jailer, he took his job seriously, and he put them in the inner cell, and that would be for maximum security. And then he fastened their feet in the stocks. Now, these stocks were designed to immobilize their legs at wide angles, causing extreme discomfort, pain, and humiliation. And not to mention that they already had wounds from being beaten. And about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening. And I love that this was their response, that Paul and Silas, they responded to their situation by singing and praying. They were not whining. I might have been whining. They continued with their mission of worshiping God and telling others. And suddenly there was this violent earthquake right then. And the foundations of the prison were shaken. And at once the prison doors flew open and everyone's chains came loose. And I wonder if they immediately recognized that this earthquake was the rescue. The earthquake was a rescue. Because when I think of earthquake, I don't think of it in those terms. But, you know, they had had a horrible day. And then came the earthquake. And the jailer, he was not ready to understand that this was a rescue. When he woke up, he saw the prison doors were open. He drew his sword, and he was going to kill himself because he thought all the prisoner had escaped, and he was going to be in big trouble. But Paul shouted to him, "Do not harm yourself. We are all still here." And the jailer rushed in, and he fell trembling before Paul and Silas. And he brought them outside, and he said, "What must I do to be saved?" Because I think right then he recognized that Paul and Silas were saved by some mighty God that he didn't know yet. And they replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." And they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all the others in his house. And the jailer, he washed their feet and their wounds, and immediately he and his household were baptized. And the jailer, he served him a meal, and he was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God. And this is another example of how God's plans are so much bigger than ours. When Paul and Silas got up that morning, there is no way they thought, "Let's get seriously beat up and then go to jail and be chained, put in stocks, and live through a violent earthquake, and that is how people are going to receive Jesus today." There's no way he thought that. For one thing, if most of us had thought that, we might just go back to bed and say, "I hope tomorrow's plan might be a little easier." I don't know. In our own life, are we ready when God rescues us? And sometimes we don't even know what rescue looks like. Have you ever had car trouble and you had to stop on your journey only to find out later that if you had continued, you would have gotten to the scene of a really big accident at that exact moment if you had continued? Can we accept that a broken down car that messes up our schedule for the day, that can be the rescue for the day? God doesn't spell out for us what his plan is and how he will save us. He expects us to have faith. I look at the state of the world today and I wonder, God, how are you going to rescue us? But don't fear. God is in control. Sometimes his plans span centuries, just like when he died on the cross. The disciples did not see that this was the plan. They were not prepared for death on a cross to be the rescue, even though Jesus had told them then that in advance. Jesus had told them he was going to die. But they hid behind locked doors until the resurrected Jesus came for them, and then he sent them eventually on their mission. So we need to start preparing our hearts that we are able to accept God's big rescue plan, and that we're going to be ready when it occurs. We are the bride of Christ that Matthew 25 is talking about. We are supposed to keep oil in our lamps and be prepared for him when he comes to get us. Now, the oil represents spiritual preparedness and the Holy Spirit. And we are to be ready for the return of Christ, as the hour and the day are not known. Jesus is our rescuer, and when he was on the cross, and when he comes in the clouds, and when he sits on the throne as our king, in all of those situations, he is our rescuer. And I just ask you not to be distracted by the lies of this world. You know, Pam was talking about that. A lie of this world is you are not worthy. You can't handle this. You know, all of those lies that tell us that we are not enough. Politics, technology, false teachers, fear, they can all be huge distractions. But we need to keep our eye on Jesus, spend time with the Holy Spirit, read our Bible, and worship him confidently. And know that Jesus will sustain us, and he will rescue us, like we talked about last week. And next week, we're going to continue on with this service. And I know that this was a short message, but it's a powerful one. You know, this week you're going to read a lot of things in the news about what's going on in our world. And don't be too distracted. Jesus has us. He is in control. And he will come back when it is the right time for him to come back. He knows the plan. We don't know the plan yet. Let me close us in prayer. And then we're going to have just a five-minute intermission. Dan can go down and check the meat that's for lunch. And then we're going to have a short business meeting. And then there's some very nice lunch downstairs. So let me pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for each and every one that was here today. We thank you for all that participated in this service. But dear God, most of all, we thank you for being here with us, for touching our hearts. Let your words, whether it be in worship or in scripture, dear God, just let us remember them this week as we look at a lot of scary things in the world, but none of it is too big for you, dear God. We put our trust in you. We thank you for this time. We ask that you be with the business meeting and be with each and every person here as they go on about their week. In Jesus' name, amen.